This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. I am Christina Hines. My producer today is Mr. Dennis Johnson. Thank you for having me with you this afternoon. Just before we go on, I have a couple of corrections. One of the corrections has to do with by elections. And yes, there have indeed been individuals who were elected when their political party was not in power. Examples of these were David Simmons and Dame Billy Miller. I also want to clarify something. Just in case anybody thinks that I want the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus to be named after Errol Barrow. This is not my suggestion. I am just questioning whether this institution should be politicized by placing the name of a prime minister at the forefront of it. Let's take some calls now. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good evening, Dr. Hines.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's Glenn Clark, Member of Parliament for St. George North.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, two or three callers ago, someone made the point that I said that land was cheaper under Oyinnimata's regime.
Okay.
In Parliament yesterday, I made the point that under the Territories Freehold Purchase Act, an amendment was made to give tenants who live on territories more than five persons or so are able to buy the land at $250 a square foot. The value of the land is taken into consideration. For example, if the value of the land was $15 a square foot, the landlord receives, let's say, the full value, but the tenant only pays the $250. The government pays the difference. And that's what the amendment to the Tenancy Freehold Purchase Act says. So that tenants across St. Michael and across Barbados, urban and rural tenancies, are able to purchase the land at $250 a square foot. And that's the point that must be made. So the caller is really misinformed. That tenants, as you know, for example, in Allen's Land, in Liquid Village, all across Barbados, wherever a tenancy exists, where there's five or more persons living on land, belonging to a landlord, a single landlord, not a plantation tenancy, that person can now buy their land at $250, and that was under the administration of Oyinnimata. And that's the point I was making.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. I guess the person's point was that the land prices in general increased.
No,
but
I'm not. I was talking precisely to a single program that was made, that was done. Uh-huh. Hundreds of persons across Barbados are now able to buy their land once you have been living on the land for more than, I think, it's 5 years. You see, and you have a lot of those. The second point which I want to clarify at this point in time, I heard a caller also made the point that I should have thrown my weight behind somebody in the constituency of St. George North. I have made the point on Sunday night that there are several persons who are able and willing to represent St. George North in Parliament, and they're able. Not only one, there are four or five persons all connected with the constituency. And I have said so that the branch will make a determination and then the party. But that's how we select. I cannot handpick anybody. We never handpick anybody. There's no dynasty. So I don't understand why the caller would feel that I must throw my weight, which I have said that there are several persons. There are several persons who are able, but I can't think that's not our constitution. So I thought I'd call to clear some of these misconceptions and statements.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying for us. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Not really. I just want to make those points. I will come back in. I listen to the program. I think it is a good program, and I would listen to what they're saying. But people must come with facts. I know at this time, you're going to find a number of persons coming in to make these allegations. Someone said that nothing has happened in St. George. These are things that have been said. I listen to them all the time. But we will continue to monitor what is being said on the program.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. Have a great day. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to I have some concerns as a parent in regards to school, so this is not a political topic I want
That's
to speak
fine.
About today.
Go ahead. I have concerns,
okay.
too.
Okay. Let me first state that I'm a mother of four children. Two are in tertiary level education. One is at secondary school, and one is in primary school. I also did online studies prior to the initiating the online learning this year because of the COVID. And I had a good time, and I was okay with it, you know, because I had prior experience in the information technology environment, and also because I, you know, as an adult, you tend to be more focused than when you are younger. You know, you make different choices based on which path you want to go.
Yes.
So I declare that upfront. I'm not I am not a person that hates online learning, straight up. My areas of concern where this online learning is concerned mm-hmm. is that, one, I have a primary school child, and all four of my children have devices, because I'm in a position to afford such. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
So all four have devices, their own devices.
Good.
Initially, when this online started with the primary and secondary school, the primary school started off the bat. And as such, at that time, I did not have a device for one of my children, which was a secondary school child. But she was only going on to classes like 2-3 times a week. So it was quite manageable trying fitting in my son, which had every day the online learning experience.
All right.
I printed the timetable, I put up the timetable and stuff, and the children would help one another, so to speak. So we use the devices. The primary school, I must applaud the primary school that my son is enrolled in, because straight off the bat, they made efforts that other persons that that could not afford devices, they got the necessary information. I am not aware if they received devices as yet for those children. But however, in terms of the online learning, it was structured. The teachers were available. I could have messaged them from my email address and the child's own. And my child did well at the primary school level. Up to now, he has gone back into his secondary primary school, because they have classes running the same, because it's a small school, right?
Okay.
So, and he still is doing well, because what the teacher has done, that he's now going on to a different class, they have done the day-to-day classes, and they, you know, they have the sanitizing. He has his mask and extra masks and such for the different containers. You know, the books are kept at the school, what have you. So the transition is very well. Up to last night, he had some online homework, and he was able to do it on his own without any assistance from me. He logged in and stuff, you know, the usual thing. So I find that his school, I have no, I applaud them. I applaud them.
Do you want to name the school since you are applauding them?
Yes, St. Bartholomew Primary.
Okay, well done, St. Bartholomew Primary.
Yes, it's my old alma mater too, because I went there. All of my children went there.
Mm-hmm. So what is the issue that you're having then?
That I'm getting to that. Sorry, okay. I don't want to seem long-winded. I was waiting quite a while, so I want to make sure I get across this point. Mm-hmm. I have my problem is a secondary school, because the tertiary level, my children are old enough that they can handle themselves, so to speak.
Yes.
They have classes where they have blended. Now I have a daughter that is in fifth form. She's now gone into fifth form. She's done CXCs, the preliminary ones in fourth form, math and English, and she has passed those. We got back the results yesterday.
Very good.
My problem with the blended learning, although she's all fair with the information technology and such, she's not allowed to go to school.
At all?
Fourth or sixth formers. No, fourth to sixth form. Are
for
not
the entire term?
Particular, for the entire term. Well, let me clarify something. They may have practicals, and if the teacher requests, they'll go in at 3-week intervals.
Okay.
But bear in mind, this child is preparing for CXC's exams, 7 to be exact, all 7 SBAs. They have not completed some of the syllabus for some subjects
mm-hmm.
From last term. And the issues that I'm facing right now is that you have children in the classroom, online classroom. We are speaking strictly online, because this seems to be the only school that has it. If I am wrong, I can be corrected. I don't have a problem with that. That is not allowing the children from fourth to sixth form to enter the school outside of the practical and the teacher's request. And that is at the teacher's request. That does not mean it may be happening. You understand?
Yes.
So I have a situation where she's in classroom, and I called her yesterday to find out how is everything going, because she was concerned. She said, Mom, I don't want to be home alone because I'm a working mother. My family works. The children don't blended learning. She said, Mom, I would like to see my friends and all that. I tried to tell her, well, you know, you still got pros and cons. Just wait to tell and see what's happening. Now, today is Wednesday. This is day three of the start of the school term and the complete online learning for this particular school. Mm-hmm. I called her yesterday afternoon, and I could have heard other people in the background. I said, who are those people? And when I say people, they were not children. They were adults. The teachers are in a class, in a, what you call a staff room. And I can hear other classes going on around her. And it was quite confusing because she has a class going on, and they must have on their video and audio. And I can hear other classes, different classes going on with the teachers.
Hmm.
That is one.
So have you spoken to the school, though? Have you been in contact with the school to reach out to them?
We had a meeting on Friday.
And this was before the start?
Before the start. Right.
But since these issues have arisen, have you reached out to teachers, the principal?
Not me personally.
Year
but
head.
Others have made the request. Others have aired their concerns. What I have been trying to do is get an email, because they took my information from my daughter, so that I may contact them. But that has been unsuccessful, which is why I called. You understand?
This is why you called this program?
Yes, this is why I called this program. Good. So that is what is happening in that area. And then the Wi-Fi at the school, for even the teachers, dropping out. It is not constant. So you have breakages in class. Class don't start on time. When it does start, because of the technical difficulties, the children are not hearing. Mm-hmm. They don't have the visual. It is very difficult.
This is a very difficult environment, though, don't you think?
I understand
for everybody
that,
to navigate. I'm not making excuses for the school, but I think that
I
schools are struggling. I know I have my issues as a parent with how this school reentry is being managed. And I really think all of the schools are struggling to come up with the right formula. I think it's very important for us as parents to be in contact with the teachers, the principal, the PTA perhaps, some entities that can hear the concerns, and not just hear them because they possess ears. Really consider the concerns of parents and see what adjustments they can make before we get too far down the road.
It is true, and I fully appreciate that, and I agree with you 100%. One of my pet peeves about this situation, though, I think they said the school is large, so they brought down the school, and the first to third farmers are going to school. I believe, honestly, with children that are preparing for CAP and at least the SCs, yes, we talk about maturity and stuff, but they should have at least one day.
At least a day,
At least
I think your point is taken. There should be at least a day. I think perhaps the logic of this school is that the younger children should not really be left at home alone, and perhaps they are trying to consider the difficulties that some parents may have in keeping those children. And maybe they're thinking these other children, fourth to, I don't know if it's a sixth form school, but fourth form and up, may have the maturity to be at home alone, to pursue their studies independently. Clearly, this is asking a lot of teenagers in general, because even in face-to-face school, you know, people do all kinds of things. But
exactly, because as I said, one day I would be thankful if they got at least one day, maybe. I understand the need for safety and security and persons working, and now they're trying to get back the economy altogether. So the younger children may pose a greater concern in terms of safety and security and the parents being able to go to work than the older children, but at least one day. Not for a person that has, a child that has 7 CSEs to do with SBAs and a syllabus that is unfinished from last semester.
I understand.
But I think a semester because of that. So that's only, that is my one first concern. The second concern is in the area where I live. I have a situation where we have a long road. It was a shorter road, and then it was extended to accommodate a development. And they're speeding. My concern is mainly in the day. Sometimes children play in the road.
So what area is this? If if you want someone
to church.
Where is that?
That is above, like,
no, repeat,
upper,
I didn't hear.
The left hand by the flashing.
Okay.
Carmelie Land Christchurch.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a very long road and people are always speeding. And I mean, obviously we don't have much children. When I say children, persons under the age of 18 driving vehicles. But yet you have this constant speeding back and forth, and it's quite, it has gotten busier over the years. Mm-hmm. I tried calling the representative for the area, Mr. Abrams, mm-hmm. and I have not been able to reach him as yet. But I just want to put on an appeal to him to kindly, if we can get some speed bumps in on that particular road.
Okay.
Before any danger happens, any adverse incidents happen on that road.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. I hope that you will reach out to the school. I hope that perhaps some school administrators are listening to some of these concerns that parents are raising. There's another concern on the chat about grandparents being at home with children and they don't really have much of a clue about some of the devices. Clearly, this is not all grandparents. And let's be careful on the roads. Thank you for your call. Let's take another. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hines.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and I feel so good to hear you alone this time. And I can congratulate you, quite believe, and I hear you're doing a very good job.
Thank you.
Why I had to call, I am a member of the Democratic Labour Party, and one that will be voting this weekend.
Okay.
Okay? I am hearing a lot of talk on the radio, not only now, from Peter Wickham, Tallboy, Statsman, and two persons that called this morning. They're my friends, so I could call them. They were both Democrats. One was more B than D, and then ended up with the D, and then went back with the B. And I don't know who is this now. The other one was a Dem for about 27, 28 years, and he fell in love with Mayor Motley a couple of years ago.
He
went to Mayor Motley.
Okay.
But they're still my friends.
Yes.
But one disappointed me this morning. And then if you do call me tomorrow, I will let him know that. Not that he will never be my enemy, but I must tell him the truth. If I don't like a person, I don't even call their name. I keep it there because I don't know nobody that I don't like, but if I have to don't like a person, I ain't saying nothing good nor bad about them. That is my way. Now, I'm saying that to say this. At the tender age of about 12, my stepfather of Philippines, Mr. Garner, involved me politically. I used to carry me wherever the DIP got anything. Down Lansing, when the DIP headquarters was in Robert Street, I would go all about with him because he was a Mason. And he was learning media Mason trail at that time. So I was involved in politics at that time, because I'm in my 70s now.
Okay. You grew up in politics.
Yes. What I'm saying is this. To accuse a secretary, a chairman, or anything about the numbers at your branch meeting is unfair. I was in branches nearly all my life. Because branches didn't start back in the 60s. They didn't have no branches in the 60s. But for the time they had branches, I was a member of whichever constituency, I was a member of that branch. To come and say that a person is a poor person because of the attendance at branches ain't fair.
All right.
Because I can remember, even with Vassal, a very popular man, and we had an outstanding branch. We just got the big calls. But when you see the election finished, and that's all in, you can get in. If you understand what I mean, branches isn't that popular in Barbados as we believe. So I heard a gentleman giving the impression that one of the two persons running for president is this bad and et cetera, et cetera, and all going on. And I would like to ask you this question, Miss. Who is the leader of the Barbados Labour Party?
You're asking me the question? You know the answer?
I know my
Or is it a test?
Sorry?
Is this a test?
I want to know if what I'm asking everybody and they don't know. I want to know if you know.
I don't know. Who's the leader?
Who
Educate
is,
me.
In other words, to make it this clear, who have the same responsibility as Mr. Pisa in the Barbados Labour Party. Who's that person?
You tell me.
Ms. McConney.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015 to 2017, it was Mayor Amor Motley at that time. In 2017 to 2019, it was George Payne, Senator Kennedy. Ms. McConney took over October last year. You ever hear anybody talking about her on the radio?
No, not so much.
I am saying that, and I ask you that question, because I want to know why everything that surrounds the Democratic Labour Party is a big issue. Even
I don't know that it is a big issue, you know, but it has been in the papers. And I think as a mass-based party, there are people who have some concerns over its fate and the future of it. So this may be why they are concerned about what is happening in this party. Is it still a living party? Will it continue to live? What do these decisions mean?
That is you. Because
not just me.
You wishing that the party will survive. I am saying...
Well, I'm asking whether it will. I don't know if other people are wishing that it will not survive. Go ahead.
The voices that I'm hearing that is pushing this thing, Peter Wickham, the statsman, tall boy, and I could go on, all of them are BLPs. Let me explain to you what I mean. For months, we have some problems at brass levels in the Barbados Labour Party. And being a man involved on the ground thing, I know what was going on in St. Andrew. I know what was going on in St. George North. But you're reading it in the paper, you're hearing it on the radio. Here it says you have a party having a conference this weekend. And this thing was going on over a month, not over Mr. Pisa, no. Mr. Pisa was the president for 2 years. I voted for her twice. If certain people believe that they would try someone else for a year, because only for a year, you know.
Yeah.
What's the big thing?
Well.
And not only that.
Mm-hmm.
The DLP, Danny, Dave, Dave, I will let you to get that information. I know you will get it. And you will see the amount of people that is contesting the four positions as vice president.
Yes, I see Ryan Walters is one. Is it also Dennis Lowe is another? Is that right?
It's about 30 of them.
Okay. You those are the two that I have seen, but...
The amount that tried to be treasurer, no one or two. The only section that only have two people is at the top, the president. They are two persons. This talk about the DLP Dave and the DLP Dan and the Mr. Pisa style is a slow style. I like slow styles.
Okay.
I like aggressive politicians.
Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines with you until 2 this afternoon. Welcome, callers.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Thank you. I am actually a student, and I recently did the CAPE exams, and I got back my results yesterday.
Yes.
I'm calling in hopes that someone within CSC can justify the CAPE 2020 results, because there seems to be no consistency with the results that I have heard of or received. I did extremely well in all of my SBAs for all of my subjects. In fact, in 2 of them, I received full marks for the SBA, and I only managed to receive 2s. Additionally, in a subject that I expected to do horribly in, I received a grade 1 with an all-A profile.
You want to keep that one, though, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
My concern is that I have talked to multiple teachers and students, and there seems to be a trend that students who were expected to do exceptionally well were given atrocious marks, while students who were expected to perform fairly or below average were somehow allocated grade 1s and grade 2s. I just really would like there to be a fairness, because these marks are baffling, and I am mentally tired of trying to find a pattern in a pile of confusion. And these problems do not seem to be only present in Barbados, but all over the Caribbean.
Of course, it would be. So tell me a little bit about the exam.
Instagram page of CXE, there's a plethora of complaints with regards to the results that people have received. There's been numerous online petitions that have been signed to get CXE to review these disastrous results.
I'm sure they will look at it. Tell me how the exams worked.
The exams, okay, so basically you had to give in an SVA. And I've heard so many different grading systems that they've given, but it was the SVA and the multiple choice examination. Mm-hmm. So I expected everyone to do well in the multiple choice examination because the questions were repeated from years before. So students had papers that they could review, go over, you know, talk to their teachers about if they had any questions. So it wasn't anything new on the examination paper.
So what could account for this drop in the grades then? If you were saying you knew your SBA marks were very good and you expected that the multiple choice grades would have been very good as well, what do you think accounts for this difference? Is there something that they were using? Because I know in the case in the UK, they were using an algorithm that was supposed to adjust the grades, and that was very controversial, and they had to reverse the use of the algorithm.
Well, actually, I am not sure what CXE ended up doing because I heard through the grapevine that they were giving out too many high marks and too many grade ones and twos. So apparently they decided that it was too much and they probably would have like said no, well, here, or maybe they marked harder on some questions. But I'm a bit confused as to how you can mark harder on a multiple choice examination because there's only A, B, C, D. So if C is the answer, you can't mark harder if C is the answer. There's no type of subjective anything. Everything is very objective.
So let's hope that we hear from CXE. I know, as you said, there are these petitions that are going out. They're not just from Barbados, but from across the region. I know you also have the option of querying your grades, and I can't understand that this is very unnerving for
it
you
is.
And for students across the island and across the region. But let's see what CXE will respond and how this can be worked out. I hope that someone is listening from CXE, possibly
really
the Ministry of Education in the different schools. I'm sure teachers have their concerns as well because they probably know how their students were doing. So let's see. I know as somebody who teaches, sometimes I get these kinds of questions from students too, that they went into the exam with these good marks and then they didn't come up with the grade they expected. So I'm not saying that's what happened in your case or in everybody's case, because that would be highly unlikely, but sometimes these things do happen as well. So there may be a combination of factors at
many
play.
Students on scholarship watch and on exhibition watch, you know, they didn't, well, I was on exhibition watch and I didn't get
is that a natural thing? Exhibition
Pardon
watch?
Me?
That is a something official?
Well, yes, there's the scholarship and then there's the exhibition. The scholarship is when you...
The exhibition watch, I mean, and the scholarship watch.
You got 8 wands, and then the exhibition is when over the period of 2 years you got 6 wands and 2 twos.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's hope that someone hears you. I hope that you all get answers and clarification.
I really do.
And if across the region students are not satisfied, the teachers are not satisfied, you have options, and I hope that you will use them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Have a good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, Dr. Hines, welcome to Brass Tacks. I haven't called for a long time, but I'm glad to speak to a beautiful female voice. My name is John Goddard. Before I begin my contribution, I just want to say that I feel the pain of that young lady who called you just now about the CATE results, but I'm not surprised. I have been a teacher all my life, and I taught CATE, and I felt that this year we were bound to have problems. I don't know that I need to go into any more details than that. But let me tell what I called about.
Go ahead.
I want to support you on your urging of the powers that be not to change the name of our beloved university. This is a Caribbean institution, and I, knowing Mr. Arthur as I do not think that he would have supported a name change for the university. I think we'd be better off calling some building on the campus or road after Mr. Arthur. And I would like to urge Ms. Motley to reconsider this. I recognize that a lot of us have benefited from the education at the university, and we want to keep the institution as is. The name KFL Campus is known all over the world. And I mean, it's not just a local institution, like changing St. James Secondary to Frederick Smith.
Yes.
KFL Campus is a university, acknowledged university. So much for that. Let me deal with the issue. I'm an Anglican Christian. I want to deal with the issue of same-sex unions. Now, I think the government could have, on this occasion, simply amend the legislation on the buggery laws.
Mm-hmm.
There is no good reason why we ought to try to outlaw buggery. When what two people do in their bedrooms is not our business. In any case, as you would know, ma'am, I know you're a political scientist, but I'm sure you know, nobody in Barbados has ever been charged for buggery when it is done consensually. I mean, if somebody rapes somebody, that's a different matter.
Yes.
But how are you going to know that a man buggered another man or a man buggered his wife or his girlfriend in the house unless one person is prepared to talk? So I would abolish the buggery laws. I have no problem with that because, as I said, I am not concerned with what happens in people's bedrooms.
Fair enough.
However, going towards sexual union and sexual marriage, different matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was offended, to be quite frank, by the reason given for changing, for legislating sexual unions. How long since have we just followed the international community in anything that we do? Are you telling me that once the international community takes a particular line, that we ought to follow it?
Is it just the international community, though? Aren't there people in Barbados who also are supportive?
No, I agree with you, but
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what was said in the debate. In the debate, we were told, not debate, in the throne
speech,
we
yes.
were told that we do not want to lose our reputation as a country for fair play and all those things that other countries have already gone ahead and legislated same-sex unions and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is a non-reason. I think that people living as they want, if you want to be homosexual or lesbian or whatever you want to be, that's your business. But don't ask the state. Do not ask the state to endorse it or otherwise. I don't know that the state has any business in a matter like that. Same-sex marriage, in my opinion, is a no-no. As far as I'm concerned, marriage means the union between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That is my view.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The state should not get involved in people's relationships if there are same-sex relationships.
Right.
Why should the state get involved in other relationships then? So what is the justification for the state sanctioning marriages in general or unions in general?
What is the
what's the reason that the state sanctions these?
Well, we have followed the Christian tradition in the Western world in sanctioning marriage. Marriage is really a church matter. The state has gone on and sanctioned it and made provision for people to be married even in the law courts and so on.
Because there are two things though. There's on the one hand there's the religious element.
Right.
That is sanctioned by not just the church, but other religious institutions as well.
Right.
And then there is the legal element, which has to do with things like property rights
yes.
and children and so on. So there are two elements of this. And I'm wondering if they cannot be separated so that the religious element is left to religious bodies and the legal element is decided by the state, because
yeah,
people get married for all kinds of reasons that may not have anything to do with religion, even love.
True, true, true. true, and I understand what you're saying about the separation of the religious from a state matter. But why? I still find it difficult to understand why the state at this time must think that it should become involved to the extent that it legalizes same-sex union. What reasons do we have? What are the factors driving this? That is what I am concerned about. Why are we doing it? What are we trying to prove?
Well, maybe there are people in Barbados who may not be as vocal on some of these programs in condemning some things that really are supportive of this. So we have competing interests in any political system. And although we are hearing interests from the church, from people who have religious objections, there may also be interests of people who want to see this, who view this as something that is progressive, who see their rights being deprived because they are in long-term relationships, and then they do not get the same treatment if someone dies, if a partner is in hospital, you know, if there are children in the relationship. So for people who are in that kind of situation, it seems very unfair to them and as if they are being unfairly treated because of their sexual orientation. And whatever people may think of this, our Constitution does speak about discrimination, that we should not discriminate. And the case can be made and has been made all over the world about these types of provisions really running counter to many constitutions. So we can look at the external factors, but we can also ask ourselves about some of the internal push factors as well. I don't think we should underestimate. There are people in Barbados that do want and are very happy for this move to have been made. And this is an ongoing national discussion. I don't think it necessarily should be viewed as a debate, but a discussion.
Dr. Hines, I quite agree with you that there are people who want to have this. You know, the gay lobby is very strong. I don't agree with you that they're not saying anything. To me, the gay lobby is more vocal than people who are opposed to gay marriage. You're only hearing the people opposed to gay marriage now because this thing has been mooted to become law. But generally speaking, you know for well all over the world, the gay lobby is extremely strong. And this issue of inheriting, what is there in our laws to stop a gay man from willing his property to his partner?
No, there's nothing that stops it, but I guess you would actually have to will. And if you are in a relationship of marriage, even if it's a common law union, then without a will, you can still have property and so on passed to your partner. So if you are in a homosexual relationship, a gay relationship, you would have to actually ensure that you are very diligent in willing things. So it is a difference in treatment, and I'm sure that many of us will continue to disagree on this because people have their beliefs about what is right and what is wrong, and everyone is entitled to these. But I am very wary of using the state to push people's belief systems one way or another.
Well, I agree
and
with that.
Some people may think that, you know, moving towards same-sex unions is that, but we could also provide the counter argument. Not having same-sex unions at least acknowledged is pushing a particular type of perhaps religious agenda that does not sit well with everybody in this country and probably other places too.
You know hello?
Yes.
Yeah, the final point I want to make about this is this. I take exception to this idea that we would look as though we are not upholding human rights when we do not accept same-sex unions. There are very few countries in the world that can lecture Barbados on human rights.
Okay.
I don't know of many countries. A lot of these Western countries that talk about human rights are racist. You look at the United States of America and see how black people are treated and so on. All of these voting rights that have been suppressed and all that, can they lecture Barbados on human rights? I don't believe so, and I think the government needs to say that to these people when they come a calling on these matters. I know that Barbados is a poor developing country, and sometimes we look for aid and so on from these big countries. But you have to be careful that you don't sell your soul. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to be careful. There must be some things that you cherish. And if our value system says that marriage between man and woman is what we would adhere to, I don't know that we should change it because other people are saying that is not so. I understand what you are saying and that you want to treat people as fairly as possible, but I really don't see Barbadians discriminating against homosexuals. I don't think that Barbadians have a history of doing anything to homosexuals to make them feel uncomfortable. I hear people talk all kinds of things, but Barbados is not like Jamaica.
Maybe, but people who have the experience, who have lived it, may have a different perspective from you. And I wouldn't want to invalidate people's experiences because I have not had them. I think we are probably going to have to just agree to disagree on this. Perhaps our value system has shifted as well, and that is something that we really have to take into consideration.
That's one of the dangers I fear. Can I make a last point? No, not about that.
One last point, yes.
Talking about Caribbean. Mm-hmm. I don't know how concerned you have to be, because you are a political scientist. You have to be concerned about what is happening in Guyana, the United States of America.
Oh, I definitely am.
Pompey has just visited Guyana, and you know what he was concerned about, the issues we're concerned about, Venezuela being at the top of the list. Guyana has to be very careful that it does not allow itself to be used to carry out the United States bidding re-Venezuela.
I agree.
Guyana, like Barbados and Trinidad, have always kept as aligned as possible a line in world affairs. We have to be very careful. And CARICOM has stated a position. Guyana is a leading member of CARICOM, in fact, one of the founding members. We have to say, and our Prime Minister has to help in this fight and say to the UN, look, we have to be careful, because we are in danger of weakening and even destroying CARICOM. Ma'am, I thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you, too. Have a good afternoon.